Welcome to ACC Nation. We continue our Voice Up series with the football play-by-play voice of NC State, sharing his thoughts on Wolfpack football. Gary Hahn will join us in just a little bit. The ACC Athlete of the Year honors go to Duke Basketball's Zion Williamson at North Carolina Field Hockey's Ashley Hoffman. Congratulations to both of them. The ACC football kickoff gets underway in Charlotte in a little over a week. We're going to hear from the coaches and some select players, including A.J. Dillon of Boston College, Shaquille Quarterman of Miami, Tommy DeVito of Syracuse, Bryce Hall of Virginia, and Cade Carney of Wake Forest. Those are just a few of the people that we may be hearing from. I'm going to try to pick up some of those tidbits and share them with you on the next podcast. Penny Davis has been named the NCAA's National Coordinator of Women's Basketball Officiating. She will fill the void created by the departure of June Courtois, who retired May 31st after 5 years as National Coordinator. Now that the college baseball season is over, we have our first way too early preseason rankings for 2020. Seven ACC teams make the grade with one on the cusp. Who are those teams? Louisville, Florida State, North Carolina, Miami, Clemson, Georgia Tech, Duke, and NC State. And some news from our corner of the world, ACC Nation Radio is now available 365, 24/7. We're streaming on the internet. How do you listen? Go to our website, accnation.net. That's accnation.net. And also begin looking for us on your favorite streaming sites. And now, Will and I, well, we're going to give our early projections of who we believe will be the top four football teams in the Coastal and Atlantic, and then we'll pick our overall top four in the ACC. Call it a preseason exercise before the rubber hits the road, and we have to live with our calls, because that's when it gets serious in a couple of weeks. Right now, we're just tossing stuff out and seeing how it sticks to the side of the barn. Well, here are the teams from the Coastal, and we'll list them as they finished last year. Pitt, Georgia Tech, Miami, Virginia, Virtech, Duke, and North Carolina. And I'm going to go to Will first and put him on the spot and find out who he believes the top four teams out of those are going to be.
Yeah, like I said last week, I'm in on Virginia winning the Coastal this year because they returned the second-best quarterback in the league in Bryce Perkins, a first-round pick at corner, Bryce Hall, the defense that will probably be top 20 in the country again, a schedule that really kind of favors them when you really look at it. I mean, when you look at opening at Pitt, a team I'll get to more in a second, that's winnable. William & Mary's winnable. Florida State's a toss-up. Old Dominion's winnable. So, I mean, the possibility exists they could come out of the gate 4-0 with two conference wins, and that'd be a big boom for them. And so I'm in on them winning the Coastal. I pick Virginia Tech second because despite all the, like I said, all the attrition from the last season, they're still in really good shape. I mean, yeah, they lose their top running back from last year, but Ryan Willis is there. I mean, Damon Hazleton is an up and coming player and at wide receiver. That defense really emerged over the second half of the season and will be every bit as good as Virginia's, to be honest with you. They'll be a top 20 to 25 defense again this year. Number three, I have Miami, and that's simply because they might be among the most talented teams in the league, but there are too many questions about this team to really have me stick my nose out there for them. They lose their top running back. Their quarterback situation is still a mess. They do have a nice receiving core. I really like Jeff Thomas as a receiver. Defense, I mean, Shaq Quarterman will be among the top defensive players in the league this year. They're going to have him. I mean, there's still questions abound. And I've mentioned before, you know, Manny Diaz is a first-time head coach, so we don't know what kind of head coach he'll be yet. Number four is the defending champion Pitt for me. Just because they lost 2,000-yard rushers last year, and that's just going to be awfully difficult to replace talents like that. I mean, you lose Darren Hall and Kadre Ollison. Those are both really good backs for them last year, both averaging over 6 yards a carry. The returning leading rusher this year is Kenny Pickett, their quarterback. So that really tells you where they're sitting in terms of the running game. They did have some players, you know, perform pretty well for them last year, you know, outside of them, but they also lost four starters on the offensive line. That's a huge question mark. And when you're coming up, opening up the season against a team in Virginia who, you know, is going to be, who was really good against the run last year, and with so much inexperience on the offensive side of the ball, that could pose a problem for them. They might want to, might try to air it out or early in the game, but like I said, you know, they got Bryce Hall on the other side of the field, so that would be something, a question for Pitt right there. So I think they're still number four ahead of Duke, Carolina, and Georgia Tech.
Well, you and I are seeing eye to eye on the top three. I've got Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Miami in that order. At number four, I'm not looking at Pitt. I'm looking at Mack Brown and what he has in his pantry. He's got just a slew of talent that's coming back. You know, he had, well, he wasn't coaching last year, but they had injury after injury after injury. Really, the talent was not used to the best of their ability. And I think you've just got a whole new attitude and a mindset. I see North Carolina being at number four and maybe even giving Miami a run for their money. Now, I may have to eat these words, you know, season starts. But there's something about North Carolina that is intriguing me, and I'm thinking this team is going to be probably one of the surprise teams of the season. So,
and the thing that concerns me with Carolina is their schedule is a little tough to open up. You know, they open up on a neutral game against South Carolina, Miami at Wake, which is technically a non-conference game. You know, Wake could be could be good this year. App State, granted they lost their head coach, you know, got him, and then Clemson, who, you know, that could be a 1-4 start right there.
Right. At the very least, we'll see how they do against South Carolina in their opener. That mm-hmm. could be the tell, and we'll see mm-hmm. how that all works out. Now let's go on to the Atlantic, and the reason I started out with the Coastal first was because that was more of the intrigue. We don't have quite as much intrigue here, at least not for the top team, but maybe the top four. So last year, it ended up this way. Clemson, Syracuse, NC State, Boston College, Wake Forest, Florida State, and Louisville. Who do you pick as the top four out of that mix?
I don't think there's any question who number one is. It has to be Clemson. Just too much talent. Trevor Lawrence now with a year under his belt will be even better. Travis Etienne's back. They're just loaded everywhere. This is a team that probably will run the table. You may lose once. You never know. But I'd probably pick them to go 13-0 going into the college football playoff. Then I think it gets a little hazy after that. I think the top four are a lock, but in what order is the question mark? I'd probably lean Syracuse number two, but you can make a case for Florida State if you feel like they're going to rebound this year, and I'd probably put them at number three. But you know, Syracuse, they do lose Dungy, they do lose a couple of years, but you know, they're putting a lot of trust in DeVito, and you're kind of thinking Dino Babers finally has this thing figured out. And I had mentioned this on last week's podcast. There's also the theory I put out last year about how teams who force the most turnovers, they don't repeat them last year. And that can be a big, you know, a determining factor in your record. And Syracuse led the league in turnovers forced last year, and that probably won't continue again this year. The trends say they won't. So maybe that costs them a game. Instead of being a 9-win team, they could be an 8-win team or a 7-win team. I think Florida State, I would put at number three. I know I think I've changed this from last week, but I've just kind of sat around and thought about it more. But I think this team, with so much returning, I feel like this is a team that will be more towards the 8-4 team than the 4-8 team I laid out on last week's podcast. They can't be this bad. It's Florida State. They have the talent. I think once they get the quarterback situation figured out, then they should be good to go. And number four, I would go NC State, just because I think those four teams are ahead of the other three. And even with so much gone from NC State, I mentioned how well Dave Dorn's recruited for NC State. And I think this is a team that will, I think they might try to run the ball a little bit more this year. Seeing a guy like Ricky Person really emerge as the season went on, I think he will be someone in line for a big year this year, and I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I do like NC State at number four.
Well, as I said earlier, this is us throwing things against the barn and seeing how it sticks. We're not, you know, holding each other to this. This is just a good analysis as things transpire and we learn a little more about what's going on. And as we get closer to actual fall practice type of situation and things start to sift out, we'll have a much better feel for where these teams are going to be and who's going to be filling positions. And at that point, when we start making our projections, as I said, the rubber hits the road, and that's when we have to be held to what we're saying. So right now, it's conjecture, and it's a good place to be. I'm going with Clemson at number one. I think that's, as you said, that's a lock. I don't have an issue there. Syracuse, I think at number two as well, because I think they're bringing back enough. There are a few question marks, but I don't think enough to preclude them from being a strong two in the Atlantic. Now, this is where you and I flip-flop a little bit. I'm still not completely up to snuff with Florida State. Now, part of the reason I'm going to put NC State at number three has to do with the interview with Gary Hahn, which is coming up here in just a few moments. It gave me enough background and a feel for that team. And see, this may all change after we have the interview with Florida State too. But right now, it gave me enough of a feel that I thought, well, the Wolfpack is doing something right here. So I put NC State at number three, Florida State at number four. So that's my lineup. Clemson, Syracuse, NC State, Florida State, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, we both got our top four. Let's engage our brains a little bit more here and see how we think these eight teams will rank overall in the ACC this season. Now, this puts us on the spot just a bit because, frankly, a couple of these teams are pretty even in my book. And so I was sitting there going, do I flip a coin? So let's see what Will thinks.
Number one is Clemson. They probably, if I was doing an overall poll, I would probably have Clemson number one, too. They're just, to me, the best team in the country right now. Counting Notre Dame, they would be number two for me, a team that's, you know, made the playoff last year, ended up with two losses total, had an excellent season. Return Ian Book for another year. They do have, the defense should be really good again. I like them at number two, especially with the way the schedule breaks out. I think they have two losable games right now. I would say they could probably lose at Georgia and at Michigan. USC at home could be a toss-up, but I'd lean Notre Dame in that one. Sorry, Xavion. But number three, Virginia. I feel like, I mean, there's a clear gap between two and three. You're talking, you know, Clemson that probably will, that could go 12-0, 13-0 if you count the ACC title game. Notre Dame, who could very well be in a 10-2 team, and in Virginia, they might go 9-3, but they're probably no more than a top 15-20 team. And then number four, I'd probably go Syracuse, just because I think they still have, I think they're still going to be a good team despite all the question marks I posed this year.
You know, one of the things, and I need to continually point this out, just especially for people who are new to the program, we include Notre Dame in on our football list primarily because Notre Dame is for all intents and purposes, is an ACC team in everything else, okay? So with the exception of hockey, which we don't have yet, maybe working on that. But here's the thing. We look at Notre Dame and go, okay, well, they're playing, you know, a guaranteed four or five games of ACC teams every year anyway. So that's the closest thing they're going to get to being a conference team. So we include them in. Anytime we talk about football, we include the Irish in. And that may upset people who are Notre Dame fans or people who are purists for the ACC. Sorry. Now, when it comes down to my list, Clemson, Notre Dame, Virginia, And I'm going to go down a list and include all these Coastal and Atlantic picks. So, got Clemson, Notre Dame, Virginia, Virginia Tech, Syracuse, NC State, Miami, Florida State, North Carolina, in that order. And as I said earlier, I had a really hard problem sitting here and sort of comparing, and really it's apples to oranges, unfortunately, but I was sitting here wanting to just flip a coin and go, gee, which one should I take? And I was... really didn't know which way to go on a couple of these teams. So, as I said, we're throwing stuff against the barn, seeing what sticks. And some of it does, some of it doesn't. So, no big deal. Hey, let's talk now how Dave Doran is restocking the pantry in Raleigh. We're continuing the Voices of Football preview series with Gary Hahn, the voice of the NC State Wolfpack. This is the second straight year that Dave Doran has had a top 30 recruiting class at NC State. Now, last year, it was a rebuild of the defense. This year, the offense. The need to replace a quarterback, running back, receivers, three critical pieces of the offensive line, all very key. So let's take a look at the offensive line first. What needs to be done there?
Well, you've got to replace an all-ACC tackle. You've got to replace a consensus All-American center that won the Remington Award as the best center in college football. And you've got to replace another All-ACC lineman. So there's a lot to replace there. But I think the program is to the point now where Dave Doran's just kind of, he's not rebuilding every year. He's just kind of reloading. Justin Witt does return. He was the right tackle last year. Joshua Fett Jackson was the right guard, did a nice job. And Joe Sculthorpe is a solid interior lineman. And he can play guard. He can play center. He was kind of the putty guy last year. But a couple other people are going to have to step up, and that's going to be determined in fall camp. But that line did a really good job last year protecting Ryan Finley. The Pack didn't run the ball as well as it wanted to last year, but that line did a good job keeping Finley upright. And I think that is a big deal for State. I think the quarterback position is a big deal for State. I think the running back position is a big deal for State. You lose two of your top wide receivers. Although I think that receiver position is probably going to be in pretty good shape, but you're right. There's a lot to replace this year on offense, just the opposite of what happened last year when State had to replace seven starters on defense. The defense has just about everybody back except Jermaine Pratt, who was drafted, and Dexter Wright, a starting safety who was a senior. So that's good. And, you know how it goes on offense. Sometimes it takes a while for the offense to get going. I think the defense is going to have to be pretty good right out of the gate.
Well, you do have those three returners that you mentioned that offer the potential to road grade for the running game. Will there be a bell cow at running back this season?
Well, I think there are a lot of different guys. I think that's one of the good things. Last year was Reggie Gillespie. He was far more efficient than any of his backups. Two of those guys returned. You've got a couple of blue chips recruits and Ricky Person Jr. and redshirt freshman Trent Penix. Also, you've got a guy named Zonovan Wright. And this young man, I think, is going to be very, very good as well. He had a big spring game, and he's going to have to step up, and the running game's going to have to be better. I mean, last year I thought that State had some potential to run the ball a lot better, and I think they're going to have to run it a lot better because you've got guys coming in at quarterback that have never really played significant minutes in a college game. Some of them have been in there in garbage time, but they haven't been in there when a game has been on the line. And when you have that kind of situation, you're going to have to run the ball a lot better.
There's some interesting names and talent on the receiving end of the passing game. How's the overall depth and experience look for wide receivers?
Well, you lose Jacoby Myers and Kelvin Harmon, who were big-time players. Harmon, of course, drafted into the NFL. But I think the wide receiver position is going to be okay. You've got Junior Emeka Emezi. He caught 53 balls, and he was pretty efficient. Sophomore Thayer Thomas is a guy who can, I think, have a big year coming out. He had some injury problems last year. It looked like he was going to break out and then he'd get hurt. He's also a good punt returner. Junior C.J. Riley is a very intriguing player. He was used sort of conservatively last year when games were close. But when games weren't, he caught a lot more balls. He's a big target, and I think that those three right there, as well as Tabari Hines, was a former Wake Forest and Oregon receiver, and he was pretty efficient and pretty explosive for the Demon Deacons back in 2017. He's come on. And you got a couple of tight ends, I think, that could catch the ball a little bit more than they did last year. Kerry Angeline had 9 catches last year. Then you've got redshirt freshman Devin Carter and Josiah Provillon, and they could get more involved in the offense as well in the passing game. But I think the receiver position is probably going to be pretty good.
Centerpiece of offense, Ryan Finley, he's moved on. On the list, I have McKay, Hockman, Leary. Tell us a little more about the quarterback position.
Well, there's actually a fourth kid there, too, Ty Evans, who was almost a four-star recruit in 2019. But Matthew McKay is the guy who came out of spring ball as the leader, and that wasn't really surprising because he's been in the program. He'll be a redshirt sophomore. He backed up Finley last year, didn't play a lot. He's 6'4", 210 pounds. He's from the state of North Carolina. But he didn't really play that much because Finley was, of course, had a big year, and he was one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback, in the ACC last year. So Matthew McKay only threw 8 times for 87 yards, mostly in garbage time against Louisville, and he ran 13 times for just 36 yards. So he's a guy who's very elusive. I think he can step up and do the job. But again, until you do it, there are nothing but question marks in front of your name. Then behind him and the guys that will be competing for the job come fall camp will continue to compete for the job. You got a Florida State transfer, Bailey Hockman. He was redshirted in 2017, and he transferred after he lost the starting job down at FSU to DeAndre Francois. Apparently, he had a big spring game in 2018. Thought that he should have been the starting quarterback, and we didn't get the job. He took a hike and came to state, so he's in the mix. And then you've got Devin Leary, who was a four-star recruit in 2018. He ran the scout team last year. He looks like he can make all the throws, and again, he's been in the program now for one plus years. And then you've got this freshman, Ty Evans, coming in, who was almost a four-star recruit, 3-star recruit in 2019. So you got a lot of potential there, but you have no one who's played any kind of football except in garbage time type environments. So, there's going to be a lot of focus on that, and there probably should be. But that's the situation at quarterback. Fortunately, the wide receiver core, as I mentioned, I think is going to be pretty good. So that should take the pressure off. And if NC State can run the ball a little bit better, a lot better, that'll take pressure off of Matthew McKay, whoever rises and becomes the starter for State in fall camp.
Dorn has done a really nice job of building something special at NC State. What do you think his biggest plus and his biggest challenge is to pulling in recruits?
Well, his biggest plus is the fact that he has already proven that he can identify talent and develop talent and move talent to the next level. State has had a lot of players drafted into the NFL under Dave Doran. So when he goes into the home of a recruit, he can pretty much tell them that he's the guy who can develop talent. He can develop you into a better football player. He can develop you potentially into an NFL player. He's got the facilities. He's got a program now that's completely rebuilt. He doesn't have to worry about, first year he was 3-9, but this is a program that has continued to make steady progress up the graph, so as to speak, each and every year. And everything this staff does revolves around recruiting. game day situations. I mean, you name it. Social media, they are really locked into recruiting, and they've had back-to-back ranked recruiting classes in the top 30. They've won 9 games the last 2 years. Dave Doran is one of 3 coaches at NC State to win 9 games in a season. And if he sticks around long enough, then who knows, could be this year. But that's probably a tall order with all that he's got to replace on offense. He'll no doubt be the only coach in NC State history to win have a 9-win season 3 times, and hopefully a lot more than that, because he is I think the last couple of years he signed contract extensions, and so you know, he's going to be around for a while. He's got this program going, and it's going to continue to improve.
Let's take a quick peek at special teams. You have 2 solid players: Dunn kicking, Thomas doing punt returns. But here's the question: who's filling the punting spot?
Well, that's going to be determined this fall. Right now, I don't have an answer for you, and I don't really have an answer for you because during the spring, I'm involved in calling baseball games most of the time. Last year, I was involved with a spring game, but not this year. So I wasn't around the program all that much in the spring. I had the baseball beat, and you know, that's a big question, because A.J. Cole was very, very good, and he was very good for 4 years, and he's going to be missed. There's no doubt about that. But as far as, you know, who's going to win that job, at this point, I have no idea.
Let's look at the defense. Looks like another solid defense for NC State. 5 of 7 linemen return from last year. Every linebacker, almost all of the defensive backs. If you were all about defense, what's not to love here? It looks absolutely loaded.
Yeah, it really does, because you got 5 of the top 7 linemen back, and State's been pretty good against the run, especially on running downs. I think the pack is going to have to improve on passing downs, especially 3rd and long. And this was a defense last year that got gashed with some big plays. So I think those are the things that are going to have to improve, you know, as far as State is concerned on defense. But you got some senior leadership. You got guys like defensive end James Smith-Williams. I think he's primed for a big year. Larell Murchison, who was one of State's best defensive linemen last year. He had, I think, almost 18 tackles for loss and 10 sacks, something like that. I think that the defensive line, Aleem McNeil, is back. And then in the secondary, both of the safeties are back. Jarius Moorhead, Tim Kidd Glass, backed up Dexter Wright last year. You got cornerback Nick McLeod coming back. You've also got, let's see, if my memory serves me correctly, Chris Ingram's a sophomore. Tayshawn Smith played 7 or 8 games last year at corner. He played a lot more in the last 5 games, including a couple of starts. So he's back. And then at linebacker, you got Brock Miller, who came on late in the season. He played in the bowl game for Pratt. He was drafted into the NFL. Brock Miller played well. Isaiah Moore is back. He was the middle linebacker and the Pack's number 3 tackler last year. Louis Azuz backs him up. At the nickel position, Stephen Griffin is back, although it remains to be seen if State's going to go with the 4-2-5 defense it's gone with before. You know, we'll see how that shakes out as well. But, yeah, State's got a lot of players back, and with all that has happened on the offensive side of the ball, with losing all that personnel, this defense is going to need to step up and I think keep this team going for a while until the offense kind of hits a stride.
The Pack faces a mixed schedule with some interesting challenges, among them West Virginia. And, of course, there's a very solid ACC schedule, too. What matchups do you think are going to be intriguing this fall?
Well, I think the road game at West Virginia is going to be very intriguing. Of course, State was supposed to play West Virginia in Raleigh last year, but the hurricane took care of that. I got that game canceled. I think East Carolina and Western Carolina, the 2 opening games, will probably be wins for State. But, again, and those are games, I think, that are key for that offense to start to get some momentum and to gain some confidence, because you go at and play at West Virginia. I haven't taken a look at what West Virginia has this year, but last year they were a very, very good team. Then you got a Ball State coming in, and then you hit the ACC schedule. And, taking a look at that, you've got a lot of potential one possession games, I think. Syracuse at Boston College is never easy. Wake Forest up has upset State the last 2 years, and the Pack's got to go to Wake Forest and to Boston College, and they've got to play at Florida State. I think Clemson is a probably a pretty big favorite in that game. You've got a couple of teams, though, Louisville and North Carolina. They've both been down, although Carolina gave State a heck of a game in Chapel Hill last year. And Georgia Tech, I'm not sure about what's going to happen there. They've got a new coach, new offensive system. But, you know, you make enough improvement, and that could put you over the top in a lot of these what I call potential one possession games coming up in the ACC. So I think a lot of this season boils down to what happens with the offense, the quarterback position, and whether State can establish some identity and play the kind of ball offensively that it wants to play and needs to play.
Well, with that, we're going to wrap up our time with Gary Hahn, the voice of the NC State Wolfpack. Thank you, Gary, for joining us again this season with some great insight into the program.
You're very welcome.
Well, since we're jumping feet first into the waters of college football rankings, let's take a look at the Athlon preseason top 25 and then see how we'd rank the top five teams that they have out of their top 10. ACC teams in the early poll: Clemson, and as I said, for our purposes, we include Notre Dame, Syracuse, and Virginia for the first time in the top 25 of Athlon's top 25 for the preseason. We're going to pull from their top 10 to determine our top five college teams. Now, I'm going to read these off, and this is how they have them in order. And obviously, not everybody's going to agree with this, and I will guarantee you that Will and I will not agree with number one. They've got Alabama as their top pick for the season. They believe that Alabama is going to win a national championship again. I don't think you're going to find anybody agreeing here. Clemson at number two, Georgia at number three, Michigan. Four, five is Ohio State. Then we've got Oklahoma, LSU, Florida, Notre Dame, and Texas A&M. That's the top 10 from Athlon's preseason top 25. Let's find out from Will what he thinks the top five should look like.
Yeah, you were right. I would flip-flop Clemson and Bama. I'd put Clemson 1, Bama 2, and I would agree Georgia would be my number 3, and I think it really gets to be a little bit up in the air after that, because I like Michigan, but I'm not sure they're number four. But I also like Ohio State's talent, but again, questions at the head coach. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like them too. Oklahoma, yeah, they lose the number one pick overall, but they brought the guy who helped win, has helped Alabama get to the playoffs and helped them get a national title. So I would probably move Oklahoma up to four. I have a lot of trust in Lincoln Riley and his ability to get things done there. And then number five, I'll probably lean Michigan, just because I think their situation might be a little more steadier than Ohio State. I don't know if Michigan is a team that would be a playoff contender necessarily, but I would probably put them number five, just because even though I might like Ohio State more, I'm just not so sure about Ryan Day as a head coach just yet.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from there. My top five, Clemson at number one. Here's where I start stirring the pot. Georgia, number two. Alabama at number three. Oklahoma at number four. And Michigan at number five. I just think that Georgia is primed to pull the trigger on taking the SEC this year. I don't know why that is. It's just a gut feel. And again, we're throwing stuff against the side of the barn, seeing what sticks and what doesn't. Maybe as I get closer to the season, I will change my attitude about that. But I see and feel something there, and I like to go with my gut, because my gut usually tells me, if you're right or wrong in a lot of things that you do in life. In this particular instance, I've just got to go with my gut. Oklahoma, I thought, was definitely a number four. And I think that you picked it number four too, right? Is that?
Yes. Okay. Yep, that's right.
I think that Oklahoma certainly shows that they have enough to contend, maybe even for a national championship. Now, whether or not they get there, now that's where my gut comes in and says no. But I think at least number four. And Michigan at number five, I feel good with that. I just don't. I think they're better than Ohio State. Kind of a simple
one. That's fair.
Now, since we're on football, we're getting closer and closer to wonderful world of NFL preseason. Of course, we have to have some serious practice action going on first. So, but we're going to go into the NFL division, take a look, and get a feel for who we think will win each one of the divisions. And we're going to start out with the AFC East. Now, this is often somebody would initially say this is a gimme. I'm not sure that I would totally go with that. However, you're going to find out that I probably will. The AFC East, New England, Miami, Buffalo, and New York Jets. Who you picking there?
Yeah, somebody's going to have to really jump out to me to have a shot to beat New England. Mm-hmm. None of these teams, I think, are still remotely close to challenging them just yet. Miami's in a rebuild. Buffalo is still mediocre at best, and so the Jets are just a complete train wreck of a franchise right now. So, I think New England's going to win this division comfortably.
That's a hands down. I will agree with you there 100%. It's New England again, much to the chagrin of the other three teams and their fans. Let's go over to the AFC North. This is always competitive, and this should be interesting this year. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati. Talk with a Cincinnati fan this week, on the 4th of July, as a matter of fact. And he's lost. He feels like, gee whiz, when are we ever going to get this front office thing cleaned up so that we can start drafting good people and building a good team? And we just kind of looked at each other and grinned and knew that they're probably not in our lifetime. So AFC North, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati. Who are you going?
This is probably the toughest one to pick. Mm-hmm. I could see, I mean, Baltimore, I think they have a good defense, and you know, this is the question of whether or not Lamar Jackson can be the full-time starter quarterback, and I sure hope he does because I'm a huge fan of his. But the question is whether or not they have the talent around him to do it. Pittsburgh has been steady, you know, a steady contender for a number of years. They lose Antonio Brown, but I think they'll still be just fine. I think the team to watch this year is Cleveland. When you see the way they played in the second half of the year, they got Baker Mayfield, played really well. They got Odell Beckham. This is going to be one of the better offenses in the league. And I think it's really a toss-up between Pittsburgh and Cleveland. I might lean Pittsburgh, but dang, I got a feeling Cleveland could do it too.
This is a tough choice. This is a very competitive group. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, there was absolutely no love lost between any of these teams or their fans. And when they get on the field, they just go at it. This is the good old smash mouth NFL that you remember if you're older. I can't help but think that Cleveland might put the only people that can stop Cleveland is Cleveland. Okay. I'm going to go with Cleveland in this, but boy, oh boy, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, very close behind on that. And they had some things go their way the last couple of years. And, you know, how long can luck run? You know, mm-hmm. I think Big Ben, the toll there, I just don't hear that clock. The clock is ticking, but I don't hear the bell going off much longer, you know. Baltimore, love to see Lamar as well do really well there and bring that. But I think they're looking at a little bit of a dip and maybe a season or two to get up to speed and to be competitive again. But, at the same time that's going on, Cleveland is really in a good position. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that all plays out. AFC South, Houston, Indianapolis, Tennessee, Jacksonville. Now, this is also an interesting mix. Not quite as smash mouth as the North, but man, this could be a very intriguing group of teams to watch this season.
I think it's a two-team race between Houston and Indy. I think Houston has a ton of talent. They still have the offensive line questions. Need to keep Deshaun Watson healthy. They have the weapons to do it. But at the same time, Indy has done really well drafting, getting that offensive line really in great shape. The way they did the work last year, they were really good. I think this is tough. I mean, Jacksonville went from the AFC title game to rebuilding in 2 years. They're going to be struggling this year too. Tennessee, not sold on Mariota, unfortunately, because I had really high expectations on him when he came out. So I think it's a two-team race between Houston and Indy, and I might lean Houston here just because I feel like I have more confidence in their playmakers and their defense.
A little more set up there, I think, amount of experience in what they're bringing in, working together as a team, I think is what supersedes. And I would go with Houston in that mix too. But I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think Indy is one of those teams that is on the rise again and needs to, you need to keep your eye on them. This is one of these teams you cannot take for granted because they're going to sneak up and they're going to pound you one. So Houston, I think, is the choice there. Let's head over to the AFC West. And this is an intriguing mixture of teams. Kansas City, the LA Chargers, Denver, and Oakland. And we can make jokes all we want to about a couple of those teams. But, things are turning the corner slowly but surely.
Oakland's still a couple of years away from even being remotely close. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in them. Denver, I think, is still a step back. It's between Kansas City and the Chargers. My questions with Kansas City are with Kareem Hunt being released. We don't know what Tyreek Hill's situation is going to be yet. Can Patrick Mahomes recreate what he did last year? I mean, there's the possibility of a step back exists. The Chargers, they have Phillip Rivers has been back there, is back there for what feels like his 30th season. He's almost at the point where his entire family could fill one side of the football. But I'll play conservatively here and lean towards Kansas City. I think the Chargers could certainly sneak in and win it too, but I like the Chiefs here.
Conservative never goes wrong in this particular field of picking. Kansas City, LA Chargers, Denver, Oakland. Oakland, you probably won't see anything fun and exciting happen until they open up at their new stadium in Las Vegas, which is, of course, you didn't point that out, but you said in a couple of years, but it's the same time, right? So Denver, so far as I'm concerned, they need to get rid of their wannabe front office. Vic Fangio, as a head coach, this is going to be interesting. Really respected what he did with the Chicago Bears on defense, but that doesn't mean that he's head coach material. And there's a reason, I think, that Vic Fangio, he's on up in years there. I'm not saying he's over the hill by any stretch of the imagination. He's not. But he hasn't been selected as, and he's interviewed several times, but he's never been selected as a head coach until now. I just think Denver needs some, John Elway, I do not believe, should be running the Denver Broncos. That's my thought, and I think it really hurts the team. LA Chargers, here's a team I think that still has athleticism, potential, but I also see them sliding. Kansas City, I think, is just overwhelmingly better than everybody else in that particular grouping. So I'm going to go with Kansas City. So that should be a simple one. Let's head over to the NFC East and find out how Xavion's favorite team, the New York Giants, are going to all spill out here. We've got Dallas, Washington, the Giants, and Philadelphia. Who are you going with there?
I would go with Philly here. The thing is they got to keep Carson Wentz healthy. He's missed the last couple of years with injuries. Now Nick Foles is not there anymore. He's gone. So the backup quarterback situation will be a question mark there. They certainly have the talent around him, though, to be the best team in the league. I think Dallas is better this year now that they'll have a full year with Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott. But I still think they're second, and then Washington and the New York Giants are just complete dumpster fires.
Yeah, we'll see where it happens with the Giants this season, and if they make any progress to having a conversion at the quarterback position. Washington, you just need a new owner. Dallas is improving, as you point out there. You need a little bit more, but that's a team to watch because I think they're on the rise. Philadelphia is just kind of cruising along. They've got their ducks in a row, and I think we'll probably be dominating the NFC East for a while until Dallas can get back in gear. And like you said, there's a dumpster fire there at New York. It's Washington, I think, is the same. So basically it's going to end up being a Philly and Dallas sort of battle in the future. At least that's, the way it looks now. Let's head to the South, NFC South, New Orleans, Atlanta, Tampa, Carolina. Some of my favorite places to visit. Let's take a look here and see who we think is in line to move up the ladder and who's still holding on to the top rung.
Still think the Saints are the team to be here, despite having a 60-year-old quarterback. No, I'm just kidding. I think Drew Brees is right around 40, if I'm not mistaken.
He's getting there. Yeah.
Still think they're one of the more talented teams in the league, despite my hatred of their fans sometimes. But actually, it's more the head coach I hate. But okay. They field a very talented team, and they're probably the team to beat in the South this year. And might be among the favorites to go to the Super Bowl.
Okay. Carolina, I'm not sure what's going on there. Tampa, all right. Atlanta, that's about the
I
only,
like them, but...
it's the only team I see that they can give New Orleans a run for the money.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And we'll see how things play out with some shifts on the roster this year. Because I think they made some good moves in offseason. New Orleans, I really didn't see any spectacular moves on the part of the draft or, free agency at all. I guess when things are good, you just leave them alone. But that's not a way to build for the future because everybody is running on borrowed time. I'm right there with you, New Orleans Saints. I think take the NFC South without any issue. Atlanta, if anybody, will give them a run for the money. The other two teams... Where are you? NFC West. Now, this is beginning to be a little bit more of a battle again. The LA Rams, Seattle, San Francisco, Arizona, which is off by itself in the desert, which is where they belong. which team? Which one are we going with here?
I think the way you run it off is the way I would rank them: Rams, Seattle, San Francisco, Arizona. I still think the Rams have a great team. I'm interested to see what they do with the running back position. I think Todd Gurley is already starting to wear down. They might go with more of a committee style approach this year at running back. They need another step up from their quarterback this year. I feel like they've leaned on the run so much. I think they need their quarterback, whose name escapes me at this exact second. Oh, Jared Goff. That's mm-hmm. right. They need him to take another step forward, because I feel like he could be if he can take that step forward, they could be a team that could make it again to the Super Bowl this year. But Seattle, they're in certain spots. They're still pretty good, but they have some aging players on that team. We'll see what happens there. San Francisco, get a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo back. They were pretty decimated by injuries last year, but I still think, even with the healthy roster, they're probably the third best team. And in Arizona, they're they hit the reset button, and we'll see what happens. They'll probably be one of the early picks in the 2020 draft too.
So let's move out of the West here before before we do that. I'll go ahead and just say L.A. Rams, Seattle, San Francisco, Arizona. I totally agree with Will. I think the Rams are the class of that particular grouping, and are probably going to walk away again with the West. Now, I kept the best for last, and why is it the best? That's because Will and I both have ownership in teams on this list, and we also hate one particular team with a vengeance. And I know that just goes over. I had somebody look at me this weekend when I said, you know, I really don't have any use for the Green Bay Packers, and I probably should have said something other than that, because apparently they were Packer fans, but I stood by my statement, and I still do. So here we go. NFC North.
You're a good person, Jeff.
Thanks for the affirmation. Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago. And we may be a little biased on how we select here, so don't be surprised.
I mean, I think our teams are the top two. It pains me to say it, but I love that Bears defense so much. I think that's going to be the big difference. The only way I could see it going the other way in terms of the Vikings is seeing, you know, maybe Mitchell Trubisky takes a step back along with the defense. This is a team that, you know, as long as Khalil Mack is back there, who I think might be the best defensive player in football, teams are going to be hard pressed to score a lot of points in that defense. The Vikings, yeah, I like this team. I'm a bigger Kirk Cousins fan than most, but mm-hmm. I also think that he wasn't used properly. So I think he certainly shouldn't have been throwing as much as they did, but that was more the play calling, and that situation was remedied later in the season. They do get Dalvin Cook back, fully a year after the torn ACL. I think he needs to stay healthy, though. That's a problem. He hasn't been fully healthy his career. But I think if he could take a step forward, you know, now a couple years removed from that ACL injury, they could be better. I think they're a wild card team, but I still think Chicago's a team to beat in the North.
Let me ask you something. Is Detroit's coach on the hot seat here? Because, you know, everything I'm reading, Detroit fans, I love them to death because they're so optimistic, and that is a great thing. That's the only way that you can survive going through what they're going through right now. And I've been there. As a Chicago fan, you know, all of us have been there at one point or another. But I just don't have much faith at all in Matt Patricia. I think he's gone by the end of the year.
I could see the situation playing out that way just because I think Matthew Stafford's a pretty good quarterback, but
yeah,
there's just not a whole lot around him. And I think if it plays out to where he does get let go, I think this should be the final death nail in getting coaches from Belichick's staff. Cause I think we all know it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
You could go through Josh McDaniels, Romeo Crennel, who else? I mean, there's forgettable names. I know those, and there are others, and I cannot think why now. But yeah, there's a list of Belichick disciples who have just failed as head coaches.
Yeah, Green Bay. Now, you know, Green Bay fans, they're some of the most rabid fans you can meet. And
drunkest.
Well, that's true. And, you know, cheese curds and all the rest. But
man, can't turn down a good cheese curd, though.
It's true. I have a lot of respect for Aaron Rodgers as a player. Not so much personally, but that's besides the point. I think the changes that are going on there are not going to work out too well this season, and we'll see how it all comes together. I don't think they've put the pieces together. They've lost some critical players that have gone on to other teams or just retired, and they're still rebuilding. So I think Green Bay is a long way from being at the top of the NFC North. I always like to see the competition there between all four teams because it's a
a really heavy duty. I mean, they called it the black and blue for a good reason. You know, that's smash mouth football again. Minnesota, I think Cousins is a good quarterback. And I think the biggest thing that I saw last year, especially, was the line just wasn't there for him. And as you point out, there's got to be a little more diversity on offensive play calling, which finally started to come about. So I think that's going to make for a different scenario for Minnesota fans this year. And boy, when it comes to receivers, you can't go wrong with the guys that you got there for the Vikings. Wow, talent. Being a little biased here, mainly because I'm a Chicago fan, I will say that, we love our defense. Okay, that's something that we've been known for. Love putting it together. Talking about being together, I think it's more together this year than it was last year, if you think that's possible. And I have to point to the fact that Khalil came in later, that Roquan Smith was a rookie, and our safety. Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at that and you see what the growth is. And I look at the same thing on the other side, too, the offense. I see there's a great deal of improvement there. Now, proof's in the pudding, so we'll see how it all works out. You know, all these teams that we've been going through in the NFL have a lot of ACC players. So for me, I want, you know, from Lamar to Deshaun to Mitch Trubisky, we got quarterbacks from the ACC. You got to root for them. You know, you hope that they do well and they don't make the AD look bad. And then, of course, you can go through all of the myriad of people on defense and offense who all came out of the ACC, and you want to see them do well. So we'll see how that all ends. So I'm going to go up with Chicago there. Detroit, unfortunately, is the bottom of the barrel. And I think Chicago and Minnesota are going to be duking it out. That's how I look at it. I think that anybody who wants to say that Chicago is going to walk away with it, no, it doesn't work that way, especially in that particular grouping of teams. The NFC North, there's always a battle. And wild card, definitely. One of the two of them is going to be a wild card. And I can see one of the two of them going all the way to the Super Bowl this year. So we'll see how that all plays out. Should be interesting. And be sure to listen to Will and I duke it out as the two teams play during the regular season. That should be fun. And we'll make fun of Xavion's New York's as we go, too. Mm-hmm. Just so he feels comfortable and at home. Be sure to subscribe to ACC Nation Podcast. Click on our subscribe option to make it easy, or join us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or Spotify. We'd appreciate a rating and review while you're there, too. It's real simple. Only takes a few moments and helps us. Follow us on social media at ACC Nation on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And don't forget to check out the newest addition to our family, ACC Nation Radio. We're on internet radio. Go to our website at accnation.net and click on and listen. You'll find the guys on Twitter. Will is at Will's World, MN. That's Will's World, MN. Xavion at XAYVEON, XAYVEON. And you can check me out at ACC The Q, ACC The Q. Until next time, cheers.
School.